Welcome to Zichru Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Sechel Shabbos, Daf Yadol. So the three points we're going to focus on. So as an introduction, the Mishnah and Daf Yud Gimel taught that 18 halachas were enacted in the upper chamber of Hananya ben Chizkiyahu ben Gorn. And the Gemara then introduces a Mishnah from Zavim that lists a number of these enactments. So the Gemara on our Daf, on Daf Yadol, seeks the reasons behind these various enactments listed in the Mishnah and Zavim. So number one, the fourth enactment states that one who washes his head and the greater part of his body with drawn water, after he was tovel correctly and was now tahor, becomes tameh. Now the reason for this was that originally people who were tameh would immerse themselves in pools of cave water that were stagnant, and they would become tahor. However, after the immersion, they would then pour over themselves clean water that was drawn from vessels in order to wash away the dirty water. Eventually, people mistakenly start to say that it was the drawn water that purified them, not the cave water. So the sages were then concerned that those who were tameh would immerse in drawn water alone, which is not a kosher mikveh. So to discourage this, the rabbis decreed that one who washes his head and the greater part of his body with drawn water after he is tovel becomes tameh. Point number two, the sixth enactment was that a sefer Torah and nevi'im ksuvim will make truma which it touches pasul. Rav Mesharshi explains that the reason for this was that people used to store their sefer Torah and nevi'im ksuvim together with their truma, reasoning that it was appropriate to do so because both are kodesh, both are holy. But the rabbanan saw that this practice resulted in the svarim becoming damaged by mice that were attracted to the food. They therefore decreed that the scrolls would make truma pasul in order that people would not store their truma near them. Point number three is that the seventh enactment was that if one's hands touch truma, the truma becomes pasul, and therefore one's required to wash his hands before touching truma. In fact, Netilas Yadayim, the washing the hands, was instituted at three separate times. Shlomo HaMelech instituted that unrinsed hands were considered tameh when touching kadshim. They were regarded, though, as tahor when it came to touching truma. Then Hillel and Shammai decreed that unrinsed hands were considered tameh when touching truma as well, but their decree was not accepted. And then lastly, in the upper chamber of Hanani ben Chizkiyah ben Goron, the students of Hillel and Shammai argued about the status of one's hands in regards to truma. Beis Shammai held that unwashed hands should be considered tameh for truma and require washing away, while Beis Hillel disagreed. When the vote was held, Beis Shammai, being the majority, prevailed. All right, so let's review. Point number one, the fourth enactment states, the one who washes his head and the greater part of his body with drawn water, after he was tovel correctly and was now tahor, becomes tameh. And the reason for this was that originally people who were tameh would immerse themselves in pools of cave water that were stagnant, they'd become tahor. However, after the immersion, they would then pour over themselves clean water that was drawn from vessels in order to wash away the dirty water. So eventually people mistakenly start to say that it was the drawn water that purified them, not the cave water. So the sages were then concerned that those who were tameh would immerse in drawn water alone, which is not a kosher mikveh. So to discourage this, the rabbis decreed that one who washes his head and the greater part of his body with drawn water after he was tovel becomes tameh. Point number two, the sixth enamel was that a sefer Torah nevi'im ksuvim will make truma which it touches pasul. Rav Mesharshi explains that the reason for this was that people used to store their sefer Torah and nevi'im ksuvim together with their truma, reasoning it was appropriate because both are kodesh, both are holy. But the rabbanan saw that this practice resulted in the svarim becoming damaged by mice that were attracted to the food. So they therefore decreed that the scrolls would make truma pasul in order that people would not store their truma near them. And point number three, the seventh enactment was, if one's hands touch truma, the truma becomes pasul, and therefore one's required to wash his hands before touching truma. In fact, Netilas Yadayim, the washing the hands, was instituted at three separate times. Shlomo HaMelech instituted that unrinsed hands were considered tameh when touching kadshim. They were regarded, though, as tahor when it came to touching truma. Then Hillel and Shammai decreed that unrinsed hands were considered tameh when touching truma as well, but their decree was not accepted. And then lastly, in the upper chamber of Hanani ben Chizkiyahu ben Goron, the students of Hillel and Shammai argued about the status of one's hands in regards to the truma. Beis Shammai held that unwashed hands should be considered tameh for truma and require washing, while Beis Hillel disagreed. When the vote was held, Beis Shammai, being the majority, prevailed. All right, so now we go to our siman. So the siman for Daf Yadalit is hands. So here we go. A sign about the early history of Netilas Yadayim was posted outside the ancient pools of cave water as mice nibbling on truma scampered around far away from the Tanakh on the shelf. Once again, in slow motion. A sign about the early history of Netilas Yadayim, Yadayim, that means run Daf Yadalit. A sign about the early history of Netilas Yadayim that reminds us that the seventh enactment was that if one's hands touches truma, the truma becomes pasul, and therefore one's required to wash his hands before touching truma. In fact, Netilas Yadayim was instituted in three separate times. Shlomo HaMelech instituted that unrinsed hands were considered tameh when touching kadshim. They were regarded, though, as tahor when it came to touching truma. Then Hillel and Shammai decreed that Unra's hands were considered tamei when touching Truma as well, but their decree wasn't accepted. And then lastly, in the upper chamber of Hananya B'Chizkiya ben Garon, the students of Hillel and Shammai argued about the status of one's hands in regards to Truma. Beis Shammai held that unwashed hands should be considered tamei for Truma and require washing, while Beis Hillel disagreed. When the vote was held, Beis Shammai, being the majority, prevailed. So a sign about the early history of Netilas Yadayim was posted outside the ancient pools of cave water. The cave water reminds us of the fourth enactment that stated that one who washes his head and the greater part of his body with drawn water after he was tovel correctly and was now tahor becomes tamei. The reason for this was that originally people who were tamei would immerse themselves in pools of cave water that were stagnant, which did make them tahor. However, after the immersion, they would then pour over themselves clean water that was drawn from vessels in order to wash away the dirty water. Eventually, people mistakenly started to say that it was the drawn water that purified them, not the cave water. The sages were then concerned that those who were tamei would immerse in drawn water alone, which is not a kosher mikvah. So to discourage this, the rabbis decreed that one who washes his head and the greater part of his body with drawn water after he was tovel becomes tamei. So a sign about the early history of Netilas Yadayim was posted outside the ancient pools of cave water as mice nibbling on truma scampered around far away from the Tanakh on the shelf. Which reminds us of the sixth enactment that a Sefer Torah, Nevim, and Ksuvim will make Truma which it touches puzzle. Where Mishashi explains that the reason for this was that people used to store their Sefer Torah, Nevim, and Ksuvim together with the Truma, reasoning that it's appropriate because they're both Kodesh. The Rabbanan saw that the practice resulted in Sfarim becoming damaged by mice that were attracted to the food. They therefore decreed that the scrolls would make Truma puzzle in order that people would not store their Truma near them. So once again, a sign about the early history of Netilas Yadayim was posted outside the ancient pools of cave water, as mice nibbling on truma scampered around, far away from the Tanakh on the shelf. So now it's time for our four blah back chazora, Daf Yud. So we change the simon for Daf Yud to a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The Chai Yishah, minion of Yidden, minion of Yidden. That reminds us around Daf Yud. The Chai Yishah, minion of Yidden, a mix of those dressed in cloaks and fine shoes, while others clasp their hands appearing as servants, reminds us of the Gemara giving examples of how various Rabbanim would conduct themselves during tefillah. Rav Abba Rav Huna would dress in fine footwear and daven, citing support from his practice from the pasuk of Hikonu Kras Elokecha Yisrael, prepare to meet your God Yisrael. Rav would take off his cloak, clasp his hands, and daven, explaining that one must appear like a servant before his master. Rav Ashi said that Rav Kahana would behave in the following way. When there was suffering in the world, he would take off his cloak, clasp his hands, and daven. He said one must appear like a servant before his master. But when there was peace, he would dress, cover, and wrap himself with a fine cloak, and then daven, based on the pasuk of Hikonu Kras Elokecha Yisrael, prepare to meet your God Yisrael. When Rav once observed Rav Hamnuna prolonging his davening, he asked, Manichin Chayo Olam Ba'oskin B'Chayo Shah, does one forsake the pursuit of eternal life and occupy himself instead with concerns of the transitory life? The Gemara explains that according to Rav Hamnuna, the time for tefillah is separate from the time of learning Torah, meaning that the obligation to learn Torah does not apply when one is engaged in tefillah. So the Chai Yishah minion of Yidden, a mix of those dressed in cloaks and fine shoes while others clasp their hands appearing as servants, celebrate the gift of Shabbos together, which reminds us the Rav Abba Mar Chesed said in the name of Chama Bar Guri, who is the name of Rav, that one who gives a gift to a friend must inform him about it. Hanotzim matan lechaverot sarek lehodio. Based on the pasuk of Ladas ki ani Hashem mikadishchem, to know that I am Hashem who makes you holy. A brisa teaches from this pasuk that Hashem said to Moshe, Matana tova yeshu bebayis ganazai v'shabbos shema. I have a wonderful gift in my treasure. It's called Shabbos, and I wish to give it to Yisrael. Go and inform them. And the Gemara clarifies that although the gift of Shabbos is likely to become revealed in any event, since it's a day of rest and enjoyment, its reward for observing it would not likely become revealed. It was of this reward that Hashem wanted Moshe to inform the Jewish people. So celebrating the gift of Shabbos together as brothers, feeling no jealousy for one another. Because we have another statement from Rav Abba Mar Chesed, who said the name of Rav Chama Bar Guri, who said the name of Rav, La'olam al yishana adam b'no b'in abanim. A person should never treat one son differently than his other sons. For on account of two slimes weight of fine wool that Yaakov gave to Yosef in excess of what he gave his other sons, his brothers became jealous of him, which eventually resulted in the sale of Yosef and our forefathers descending to Mitzrayim. So once again, the Chai Yishah minion of Yin, a mix of those dressed in cloaks and fine shoes, while others clasp their hands appearing as servants, celebrate the gift of Shabbos together as brothers, feeling no jealousy for one another. Daf Yadav. So the symbol for Daf Yadav is stars, like the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here we go. The exceptionally starry sky, that reminds us we're on Daf Yadav. The exceptionally starry sky above the government building, which reminds us that Rav Abba Mar Chesed said in the name of Chama Bar Guri, who said in the name of Rav, if all the seas were black ink, and the marshes were quills, and the heavens were parchments, and all the peoples were scribes, they would not suffice to record the depth of mind of the government. Rav Misharshi said the pasuk that teaches us this is Shemayim Marum V'Arts LaOmek V'Lev Malachim Ein Cheker. The heavens for height, the earth for depth, and the mind of kings are beyond investigation. So the exception he saw in the sky above the government building shed light on the drinking fountain in the Rishus HaRabim, where Taylor tried to bend over while standing in a Karmelis, which reminds us, a person should not stand in a Rishus HaYachid, bend forward and drink in a Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, because he might forget and transfer the cup from one domain to the other. But if he brought his head and most of his body into the Rishus he's drinking, it's permitted, since he's unlikely to forget and transfer the cup from one Rishus to the other. So the question was asked with regards to a Karmelis. Is it permitted to stand in a Karmelis and drink in a Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim, and vice versa? So Abai said the same restriction applies. Even though a Karmelis is only at the Rabbanan, and we typically do not apply a Gezer or a Gezer, we don't legislate a rabbinic decree to protect another rabbinic decree, the laws of Hotzar are different, Tosafot says, and the Mefarshim explain, either because people very frequently transfer and therefore they're more careless, or because they treat Hotzar transferring less seriously and therefore we have to be more strict. Rava said the same restriction does not apply, since it would be a case of a gezer lo gezer. We'd be legislating a rabbinic decree to protect another rabbinic decree. So the exception starry sky above the government building shed light on the drinking fountain in the Rishus HaRabim, where Taylor tried to bend over while standing in a Karmelis with his needle pinned to his shirt. Because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a craftsman who carries his tools of his trade on Shabbos in the manner of his craft, such as a tailor going out with a needle pinned to his garment, would be liable for a chatas, even though the manner of carrying would be unusual for any other person. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simur Yud Beis is 12 brothers. Here we go. The 12 holy Kohen brothers. 12 brothers. That means we're on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 holy Kohen brothers who wore their tefillin outside till late Erev Shabbos, which reminds us that a brayso in the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel taught the following. A person is permitted to go outside wearing tefillin Erev Shabbos just before nightfall. Rabbi Rav Huna explains that there's no concern that he might wear the tefillin outside after Shabbos begins. Since a person is obligated to touch his tefillin at all times, he's always aware of the presence, and he brings a kal vachomer from the tzitz. The tzitz, the head plate of the Kohen Gadol, has only one mention of Hashem's name on it. Yet the Torah says, Vayal mitzko tamid, and it should be on the Kohen Gadol's forehead constantly, which teaches he should not divert his attention from it. So how much more so should a person not divert his attention from tefillin, which has many more mentions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in them? So the 12 holy Kohen brothers who wear their tefillin outside till later Shabbos would always visit the sick on Shabbos, saying Shabbos Melizok, which reminds us it was taught in a brisa. The one who visits the sick person on Shabbos should say Shabbos Melizok, Rufua Krova Levo. It's Shabbos now, therefore we're prevented from crying out for your recovery, but the healing will come soon. And the Marsha explains, the sick person might think that since tefillah is prohibited on Shabbos because it might arouse weeping, Shabbos is preventing his recovery. Therefore, we reassure him that his recovery is as likely to come on Shabbos without tefillah as would come during the week with tefillah. So they'd always visit the sick on Shabbos saying Shabbos Hino Lizok and making sure never to sit on the sick person's bed. Because it was taught in the Braisa, one who visits a sick person should not sit on a bed or a chair. Rather, he should wrap himself and sit on the ground or a low chair because the Shekhinah is above the head of the sick person. And this is learned from the Pasuk, Hashem Yisedenu al Eres Davai. Hashem will support him on the sick bed. Tosafot explained, though, that this restriction applies only where there's a sick person lying on the ground or on a low bed, since the visitor is sitting on the chair would then be, so to speak, higher than the Shekhinah, which is the patient's head. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simur Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here we go. The bar mitzvah boy's PowerPoint presentation on the topic of eating meat and milk at the same table, which reminds us of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, says that two lodgers can eat at the same table even though one is eating meat and the other is eating milk. Rabbi Chanin Bar Ami said in the name of Shmuel that this is only when they don't know each other, and therefore it's unlikely they would take food from one another. So the Bar Mitzvah boy's PowerPoint presentation on the topic of eating meat and milk at the same table concluded with his acceptance of 18 enactments, which reminds us that in the next mission of the Perek, we learned that the Rabbanim were visiting Hanani ben Chizkiyahu ben Garon in his upper chamber. And a vote was taken on a number of issues. Beis Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel, and 18 halachas were enacted on that day. So it concluded with his acceptance of 18 enactments and a moving speech on the importance of cherishing one's troubles and resolving contradictions. Because the Gemara provides some background on Hanani ben Chizkiyahu and his achievements. Our Braisa identifies him and his colleagues as the authors of Megillas Tainus. This is a scroll compiled at the end of Bais Sheni, which lists dates that are treated as minor festivals which fasting is prohibited on account of miraculous salvations which occurred on them. The Braisa explains that they wrote the Megillah because they cherished the troubles that befell them. What this means is that they understood that they were fully deserving of the hardships and cherished that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had miraculously saved Klal Yisrael on those days. They therefore established those dates to be celebrated as minor holidays and record them for posterity. And the Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the Hanani ben Chizkiyahu should be remembered favorably for reconciling all the seeming contradictions between Sefer Yechezkel and the Torah. He secluded himself in the upper chamber for an extended period of time until he reconciled the various psukim. Sefer Yechezkel would have been hidden away if he hadn't done so. So once again, the Bar Mitzvah boy's PowerPoint presentation on the topic of eating meat and milk at the same table concluded with his acceptance of 18 enactments and a moving speech on the importance of cherishing one's troubles and resolving contradictions. All right, now it's time for a pop quiz of 10 questions. Here we go. Number one, which daf do you learn about the importance of treating sons equally? That's on daf. Good. Number two, what are the melchokas about throwing a reed basket at kaveris into rishus rabin? That's on daf. Ches. Good. Number three, where do you learn that Rav Hanani Bar Chizkiya was the one who resolved the contradictions between Sefer Yechezkel and the Torah? That's on daf. Yud Gimel. Good. Number four, where do we get a sixth enactment that a Sefer Torah Nevim and Ksuvim Pasal Truma? That's on daf. Yud Dalet. Good. Number five, where do we learn that one should not sit on a sick person's bed because the Shechina is there? That's on daf. Yud Beis. Great. Number six, where do we learn that two strangers can eat meat and milk at the same table? That's on daf. Yud Gimel. Good. Number seven, where do we learn about the three times that Netilas Yadayim was instituted? That's on daf. Yud Dal. Great. Number eight, where do we learn that the top of a nine tefachim post in Rishus of Rabim has the status of Rishus of Rabim since people use it to adjust their loads on? That's on daf. Ches. Great. Number nine, where do we learn that when one gives a gift, one needs to inform the recipient of the gift? That's on daf. Yud. Good. And number 10, where do we learn about the fourth enactment that one who showers in drawn water after going to the mikveh becomes tameh? That's on daf. Yud Dalet. Excellent. This is Rabbi Avram Gold from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.